What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Hi.
I'm recording.
Happy Wednesday.
And happy Wednesday to you as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And happy Wednesday to all of our listeners out there.
Yes, indeed. And when I have generally good feelings about Wednesday. I think it's to do with the fact that we record our little show on that day.
Oh, should we record every day?
No.
A daily podcast.
No, that would change things, wouldn't it?
Just an hour and a half every day.
Wow, that's the news, huh? Some people are up to that. The Today Show?
The Daily.
Yeah.
I mean, hours and hours of those things.
Every day.
They wake up at 3 a.m. and...
Oh, my God. Terrible.
Go.
Terrible. But, you know, we don't have a team of people writing copy for us, and we don't have teleprompters.
Not yet. Send in your resumes.
Mm-hmm.
We do have teleprompters. You just can't see them.
That's true. We're reading this right now.
Yeah, this is all scripted.
And it has been for years and years and years.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. It's very talented writers.
Incredible writers on this show. They win awards, but none you've ever heard of. You know.
Award winning. Did you have a nice night last night?
Last night was dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal.
Did you know that?
Well, someone told me that it was opening night, and I thought, no, Wednesday's opening night.
Wednesday's opening day, in fact.
Oh, right. Start right in there in the afternoon with a show.
Yeah. So it's kind of like we're not there. The show is opening this afternoon, it seems.
Could they do just like back-to-back shows, just keep them, keep the same audience, just like do it again?
They could
like
do
all the shows in one day.
That would be incredible.
Like a marathon Tony, it could call it the Tony Show.
Yeah, just get the Tony voters in there, the second one probably, that'd be good.
But just keep doing it again and again.
Again. But we did our dress rehearsal last night, and then I think this afternoon is like number one. And then number two tonight. And then it's just going to keep going. But there's going to be like a little celebratory moment May 7th, which is, you know, a little ways down the road.
Wow. What?
Well, they got to get there.
So there's like no opening night.
No.
Because it's happening at 2 p.m. So they're going to have a celebration at a random date in the future.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Interesting. This all seems so backwards, but...
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of worked out great, I have to say, because when they announced, they were like, we're opening on Broadway in a month. I was like, I was literally like thinking of the, you know, thousands of things that would need to happen between that. And I was like, how is this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But then once our team was in place... We actually had, you know, support in a more substantial way financially. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, yeah, we can do this. And then we've been, you know, we're not done. I mean, look, we're still going to be working on the show for a little bit to, like, make sure all of the...
Yeah, there are no previews, so you're just kind of...
Yeah, we're going to make sure all the understudies have everything they need and all the duplicates are in and all the shoes are correct and all the, you know. So... we're going to work for a little while longer on the show, but, you know, ostensibly it's all great and up and running, and it's been really nice being in a theater with, like, people who really know what they're doing and the kind of support
great.
That we've needed to do this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And a really amazing team. It's been nice.
Yeah, it's also nice to have, it generally is nice to have a set window of time, and then things need to happen, and then it's your time.
Totally.
So.
And now, like, we worked really hard for this month, and now it's like, great, it's opening, and like, somehow it doesn't feel stressful. It's great.
That's great. I mean, I imagine it's also helped by the whole scenario in which it's kind of a show that's already happening because right. of the Armory.
Right.
And even, like, Chicago and, you know. So it kind of, I imagine everyone's less stressed, which totally. Makes a better environment.
This show was being performed, like, basically as it is now a few weeks ago. So
right,
people
right.
are like, here, we're just doing it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just doing it again.
The bizarreness is, like, this Tony Awards game and all that. What strikes me as especially strange is I feel like the point of the Tony Awards is kind of to get people to come to your show.
Yes.
But isn't this a limited run? Is it possibly going to be extended? Is that the dream?
I honestly...
Or is it just to get awards?
I don't know. I don't know how any of this works, but there's another show.
I guess it could potentially move somewhere else.
Yeah, but that's true. It could go to another theater. But there's another show coming into the theater, Sunset Boulevard, after 4 months. So it's
the Sunset Boulevard.
The Nicole Scherzinger Sunset Boulevard. Wow. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So I don't know. But I think that...
Take It on the Road, Tony Award winning. I mean, I guess
exactly.
It
helps I think
that's kind of a thing.
Having
that makes more sense to me than like a Broadway mom extension right. than like.
Look, having nominations and awards can't hurt. It can't hurt, you know.
No, for sure.
And
I'm like for the creative team.
And congratulations to Illinois. It's already on the awards circuit, getting nominated for all the off Broadway awards that. Are around that's great. I'm excited for this like what's about to happen. I mean, I don't think Harriet and I are going to be winning any awards for this show, but it'll be nice to be a part of a show that like people are enjoying and caring about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in the way that like we received a kind of like false hope last year when Danson opened and the reviews were largely like, this show is strange and the costumes are great, you know?
Right.
And it was like, oh wow, like our contribution is getting this very specific kind of attention. And then it was like, the show just got blocked.
But the show, right. The show itself has to be like in the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there are like 10 shows opening every day being reviewed in the New York Times. I like don't. I'm truly like, what is happening? Like what? This show's like Cabaret is back. What?
Yeah, I watched a CBS.
The Wiz.
I watched a CBS
Sunset Boulevard's happening.
I watched a featurette about Cabaret.
Uh huh.
And.
With Eddie.
I can't. Someone. I'm sorry. I can't stand him.
Not interested. Well, I do feel like what makes him unbearable on screen is theater, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of like, makes sense. If one likes theater in that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
A friend. But,
no, thank you.
A friend of mine recently was like, oh my God, I've somehow come into some comp tickets for this new Jessica Lange play on Broadway, and you'd be welcome to join me, right? Like, they were excited.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, well, let me check my tech schedule. I'm not sure if I'm free then. And then the conversation continued where it was like, oh, like, you don't seem excited about this, and it's like... They were like, that's crazy. And I was like, I didn't say it.
Well, it's a play.
Right, I didn't say that. But I was just like, oh, no, like, just, I'm not sure about timing. And I couldn't go because of tech stuff. But then, you know, I got the sense that this person's feelings were hurt, that I had no enthusiasm, like, via text about this. But then they went to see the play. I was like, how was the play? They were like, incredibly disappointing. I'm like, well, yeah.
As an adult person, the theater is not really for us. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Look, is Jessica Lange...
What was the play? Jessica Lange was doing something on stage. Mother, that's kind of incredible.
Mother play, and also starring the guy from Big Bang Theory. Do you know his name?
Yeah, what is his name? The, like, tall, skinny, gay one.
Yeah.
Who's always on stage.
He's always doing Ryan Murphy or stage, yeah.
Uh-huh. I also saw him get a psychic reading from Tyler Henry.
Oh, wow, that's fun.
Can't do it, though. I don't know.
But anyways, it's called Mother Play, and it's literally in the theater next door to ours. And is Jessica Lange the star of my favorite movie? Absolutely. I love her. Do I want to see her in a
wig? Also, All That Jazz.
All that jazz. Exactly. Wow. She's in Tootsie. She's in King Kong. You know, she's one of our greats.
She plays, what's her name in that Feud show?
Yes, Joan Crawford, even.
The Joan Crawford. That's worth rewatching.
That was weird and good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gorilla.
Where's Susan Sarandon been, you know?
I think she's dedicated to having a nice life. I think she's living a nice life somewhere.
Yeah, she's activated.
I think people who continue to act are crazy. But, you know.
But at the show end must of the go day, on, it's a job, and sometimes you need to use your job as a means to get out of bed, and I understand.
Sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
I understand.
Be in the world, feel like you matter, things matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I keep making things, so I guess that's the same thing, so. Never mind, I take that back.
Yeah, I mean, look, it does feel crazy to be super rich and then just, like, keep working, but it's also, like, it's not just that.
Craft services, that's what I think of. but I guess, you know, you can, like, get around all those things with money.
Oh, yeah, look.
Sashimi.
Yeah, like, when Tom Cruise and these uber crazy rich Jim Carrey folks and... When they're the stars of a movie, you better believe that they have chosen the craft services and it's going to be strange and fancy.
Right. It's going to be specific.
Yeah, you're not getting, like, an untoasted bagel next to, like, grapes.
Omelet house.
No, yeah. It's not that. And look, if you're on a show where my Aunt Jane is your producer, you know you're going to be getting some fun food because she cares.
Oh, really? Is she... That's a big thing for her?
Oh, yeah. She wants people to eat nicely on the set.
That's... It's so important.
Yeah. Ugh,
I never saw such a thing. I mean, commercial stuff was always, like... People were absolutely ridiculous about the food. Because it was like, a point of pride to complain about whatever the food was.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me? This is, like... five-star food that, you know, people would kill for on, like, a
true.
Any kind of movie set. So
I mean, speaking of your anyway. More commercial days, I went to my friend Sam Rex art opening this past Friday, and it was great. He has this, like, wonderful, there's a Pharaoh and Ball down in Tribeca.
Paint.
Yeah, and they have, like, a chunk of it in the corner with these, like, two corner street-facing windows is a little gallery space. And Sam,
oh, okay.
Sam has an exhibition there, which is, like, portraits of himself next to ex-boyfriends on every wall, which is great. And your friend who you used to work with, Thomas, was there.
Oh, that's nice.
And we... There was, like, a moment between, like... where there was too much time between the opening itself and then the, like, after party, that we went and got soup with Thomas's friend Martha, and who you might also know from that soup. World, Martha?
Martha, it doesn't ring a bell.
Anyways, we went and had Vietnamese soup, and it was lovely, and I was like, oh, right, you worked with Jeremy.
That's right.
Yes.
In another life. Another one of those, life. You know, New York things that happens.
And I learned about Brazilian jiu-jitsu and, you know, eating six eggs in the morning and stuff like that.
Right. Body by by Brazil.
Body by effort, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what else has happened? I finished that show, The Regime.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't. I couldn't.
I just kind
like,
of like
potatoes.
I dropped in every now and then suddenly I was like, "Oh, what's gonna happen?" And then I got really interested, and it was quite interesting, actually.
I do adore Kate Winslet. I think
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is nice.
But it wasn't nice enough, I guess.
Not for you.
Shan't.
Not for you. I haven't been doing much consumption this week because I have been in the theater. I've been theater.
Yeah, I haven't been consuming much either, in part because there was a phone rearrangement, so I no longer have Netflix or Disney or Hulu.
What?
Or a bunch of things.
What?
Which feels actually like a huge relief to not, like, have all these places to go.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, no Netflix. Hmm?
But there's still HBO, there's Criterion, there's, YouTube as well.
Wow, and right after we watched Ripley, you'd be willing to get rid of Netflix. I find that amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, wait a few months at least. Although we did watch something on Netflix, which must have been Michelle's account. Was that Netflix? We watched this, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was HBO. Brandy Melville of the Brandy Melville store chain, which is a crazy documentary about exactly what you would imagine that store is.
Right, the Brandy Melville stuff.
Which is like a kind of teen girl brand.
Okay.
That's... You know, Michelle kept saying, this is just like ballet. But it's like a one-size-fits-most thing. But it's like everything size zero. And it's I kind of appreciated the documentary because it like goes to Ghana. It shows like there's this like fast fashion expose aspect to it that I really appreciate. It's absolutely horrific.
Oh.
Just like... millions of pounds of clothes being shipped to Africa to like end up in the ocean.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrendous. So keep wearing your clothes. Keep wearing them. If you're gonna buy something, wear it.
Yikes.
That was my big takeaway.
So yikes.
Stop. I mean, that's like, we gotta raise prices on these things, otherwise people just keep buying them endlessly. It's crazy. It's so disgusting. But yeah, fewer things. Have you watched the Gerard Carmichael, Jared, however it's pronounced?
I've not. Okay. I've not. Should I?
It continues to fascinate me. And every episode sort of... I'm more on the side that this is real. There was an episode with the father who's definitely not acting. yeah, I don't really want to talk about it without you. So
okay, I'll do it. I'm gonna do it. I do need to like have a specific direction for consumption right now because I can't. I feel vague about it. There's not like a specific, you know, I'll do that.
Nothing's calling to you.
No, and it's on HBO. Is that true?
It's on HBO.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Jack pulled up White Material, the Claire Denis movie, which I think I saw it when it came out in theaters. Incredible movie. Isabelle Huppert.
Wait, Claire Denis. Is this the person who did Woman on Fire? Or who's Claire Denis?
No.
Wait, what?
No, Claire Denis did Beau Travail and Chocolat.
Oh, Chocolat. And... Who made that movie, The Fire Woman? What was that movie called?
Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Thank you.
I can't remember their name. That's a different person. Yeah, I mean, Claire Denis is, like, truly one of the greatest female directors of all time. If not, you know, one of the greatest directors of all time.
Well, right. Great.
Know, these French people are so crazy, let me just say.
Yeah.
I love it.
They've got big feelings.
Yeah.
I want
to... Well, they also get to do... I feel like they just, like, there's some... I don't know how the... I think there's just a lot of government support for filmmaking in France.
Uh-huh.
I watched this incredible documentary that's French, but about the Japanese volleyball team from the 1960s.
What?
Wow. You have got to watch this.
Where, when?
This is on Criterion. I think this movie was made in 2021.
Okay.
It is incredible.
Okay.
It uses a lot of, you know, documentary footage, but also they film and follow the you know, now what, like 80-year-old women, you know, or something, you know, like in their 70s. It's really wild. They make wild choices. The music is wild. It's an incredible work of art. And then it's about this incredible thing, which is like these Japanese women who, you know, join this volleyball team, which entails living at a factory and working as factory workers during the day and then training at night. Mm. In this, like, you know, very nightmarish kind of way.
And there's video footage of this happening to them in the 60s?
There's like this stunning documentary footage, you know, that was, because they were a huge deal.
They were a hit.
They were, because they won, like, they ended up winning like 258 matches in a row.
Whoa, so they were unstoppable.
They were an unstoppable force.
And was there volleyball in the Olympics at the time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So the first Olympics, it started at the beginning, they go to the Olympics and they get a silver medal.
Okay.
And then after that, they become this unstoppable force.
May I ask who beat them?
I don't know, but Russia seems to be like...
Right, another...
So Russia is who they play at, you know, in the following Olympics.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, this actually sounds right up my alley.
It's so fun.
Okay, great.
The vibe of it is just so solid and strange.
Solid!
And, you know, it's a French documentary, but about Japan. So there's, like, this kind of strangeness to the whole scenario of this film. And it uses this, like, yeah, a lot of, like, strange juxtapositions of things. Really smart, really smart.
Okay.
It's called The Witches of the Orient.
Oh, no. I believe. Okay.
Because that's what they were called. Which they were, like, offended by originally. And then they were like...
Let's own this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, I guess witches are, like super people with... Women with superpowers.
Then they turn on that Shania Twain song, and they're like, hey, girls, let's go. Dun, dun, yeah, da, right. Da, da, da,
Oh, it's so incredible. Y'all gotta watch it.
Y'all gotta watch it.
It's so... It's such a surprise, the whole thing.
Yay.
Yeah, it's so charming. Yeah, yeah. Watch that. Okay. That'll be...
Don't...
Also watch White Material and...
Don't
buy... It reminded me of The Zone of Interest.
Oh, okay,
just
wow.
Because not... It's, like, not Nazi-related, but there's... It's so...
It's literally, by French standards, it's a rom-com, like, but it's, like, bleak. Reminds you of Zone of Interest, so...
Yeah, well, it's just, like, the whole thing, you're just, like, in this kind of anxiety.
Yeah. France.
But Isabelle Huppert is... This is peak Isabelle Huppert.
Okay.
For me.
Love that. What else can I tell you, Jeremy? I don't know.
Did you go see any dance?
No, I've been...
I saw a wonderful little, clip on the New York City Ballet YouTube featuring Gustave Le Gray.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, wow. This is like one of the greatest collaborative pieces I've ever seen. Those costumes.
They are quite a feature of the dance, aren't they?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we have to credit Harriet with going for it, because at the time we were, you know, thinking about strips, because we'd been to this Pierre Cardin exhibition.
Uh-huh.
And Harriet was like, let's just do all the way, slice to the ankle, go down. Like, I was like, okay. I was like, this could be a problem. You know, like, worried about people getting caught Tangled. But then we did some experimentation and engineering in studio to see, like, exactly, like, how much control each set of strips needed. And then we were on our way. And I have to say, like, I think they're so fun to dance in that the dancers are open to kind of managing the danger of them. Because I have seen people in performance get one of the strips wound around their leg and then they just unwind it. You know, like, there's ways of solving the problem.
When was the dance made completely separate from the costume?
Yeah.
Wow. And it just worked.
It just worked.
I think that's incredible. I think there should be a scenario in which you and Harriet design a kind of complicated costume, and the dance is made from that.
Well, yes, if that was sort of like part of the proposition of our first Works in Process show, but we didn't get too complicated because it was a lot to do, just the two of us, you know. But I think that's a great idea. That would be a good Works in Process, like the complex, like trying to navigate danger or navigate the puzzling nature of certain costumes with the body. That'd be fun.
Right. Well, you're always sort of tasked with making something that works for the dance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think that there's a possibility of finding some new dance stuff through a scenario in which the costume requires certain things.
Yeah, like it's just like a collar with long strings hanging down, each of which ends with a knife. And you have to try to not be cut by it.
That's right.
On your legs, your feet, etc.
Or there's like a pineapple on the stage and you have to cut it up.
That would definitely create a whole new idiom of dance. It'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it becomes just performance art, I guess. But
true.
Not if you're true. Really talented.
Oh my God.
Have you seen any of the latest Alice and Roman content? Do you even watch Alice and Roman content?
You know what's weird? I just, like, was under the impression that all the food people were taking a break because Claire's been gone. So, I've not seen Molly.
Well, this is new. It's new, what they're calling season two.
Oh, is she in a new place? Or is she in the same place?
Yes. So, you know, she got married. She opened the store up here, more towards where Gary Graham is, like in a bit west, not in the Hudson Valley.
It's a food store?
It's a grocery store, essentially.
Okay.
So I assume this house space is in that area.
Okay.
And it's like a whole new crew.
Oh, no.
And it's, I would say it's not working.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, it, you know, for me, I'm like, yeah, it's really hard. They're trying new things. They're trying to, like, you know, they go to the store and they, like, she talks about, like, you know, anchovies or whatever. And then they're mixing, like, a kind of vintage camera thing, which I assume is just like a iPhone with a filter thing, with like the more professional camera stuff and like kind of more handheld organic feeling stuff, which I like all of that. But what one misses is the kind of central cookingness of the, like, I wish that stuff was just used transitionally to, like, enter the episode and then, like, maybe go to a different place and then was stopped at some point. Like, I want us to still have this, like, we're cooking this thing section of the...
Right.
But it's always kind of... There's never really this landing place where we're like, now we're just focused on how to make this thing.
Okay.
It always feels like we're in a kind of fashion story.
Oh dear.
Of like style. Right.
They've lost the cooking show plot.
Yeah, it becomes more like lifestyle brand.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Which is definitely, like, the direction she's going in. Because now she has this, like, advice podcast as well. So, there's definitely, like, this kind of brand idea, but...
Yeah. I mean, look, as cooking content goes, like, Julia Child sort of created the prototype way back when. And it's just this, like, you're behind this kitchen island and you go about the business of cooking. And that has been a tried and true... structure for so long, and when people do deviate from it, it's tricky. You know, like when Ina would go to like cut flowers or like go to the shop, it was fun, but she did always end up right behind that kitchen island again.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. It's like you want like this place of home.
Yeah.
And like it's just overly edited, which makes you feel like on edge.
Oh.
It was interesting. It's like really helpful for me to see like that. Like you kind of want something boring. Like,
yeah.
Claire's videos. Incredible. It's like, this is it. Like, it's just like, well, even what happens with Molly Boz, you're like, stop it. Like, why is the camera moving now? This doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like, I'm just here to like see this thing.
Yeah.
Don't make this a movie.
Don't do that.
So.
Andy Baragani got married. Did you see that?
These gays getting married.
I have been re-watching Gourmet Makes. I've been working my way back through it. It's just so soothing. It's so wonderful. It's so funny. It's so...
Wait, what are you re-watching?
Gourmet Makes.
Oh, this is Claire making crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so funny and so fun and like... The way that she starts each episode being like, I think this is going to be better than last time. You know, like, I think...
Yeah,
like, I'm not. Hope. Yeah, she's like, it couldn't possibly be, like, as frustrating. And then, like, day five, she's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Incredible. It's so fun. That is really funny. Oh, my God.
I don't want to
It's interesting because even her traveling stuff feels very, like... food focus, like we're still like making this thing.
Yeah,
it's interesting, like that consistency.
Well, so. Her focus on food and not style is pretty incredible. She's really like, tell me more about like the process of this food, like food.
Yeah.
She's not, obviously, she's not that caught up in the kind of aesthetic details we've seen her kitchen. So.
Right, nor is her team, you know, her team is also, like, not pushing it. Because I'm sure Allison Roman is not, like, determining a lot of this. It's right. Just like, you know, okay, I'm gonna trust these people.
Right.
But
they're, like, fashion-y folk who are like, oh, and it can be, like, fabulous and beautiful and, like, chic and style and, like... And Claire's team is like chicken, oven, counter, smock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. That was beautiful. Kitchen, oven, counter, smock. That is my poem for Claire Saffitz.
Beautiful.
Chicken, oven, counter, smock. Chicken, oven, counter, smock. My God.
I was feeling like maybe I wasn't having enough protein.
Oh. Uh-oh, because you're vegan now.
So I've gone back to the Reese Witherspoon. What is that?
The smoothie? Not,
wait, who originally made that? She stole that from...
Kerry Washington.
The Kerry Washington. Green juice.
And are you putting protein powder in it?
Pea protein, yeah.
Oh, interesting. It's really
lifted up my
life. Oh, good. I made a smoothie this morning because I've been feeling very crampy in my feet and calves and stuff.
Mm.
And I realized I probably just need to eat some bananas. So
potassium.
Yeah, very good to prevent cramping. So I made this smoothie this morning that was just like a kid smoothie, which is bananas, milk, almonds, dates, and then I added a whole bunch of spinach. And it, I have to say... beautiful shade of green, like a fresh pea summer soup. Absolutely beautiful.
Nice.
And it tastes delicious, obviously, because it's just banana milk.
Sugar.
I put some plain yogurt in it as well for gut health.
So Jack came in and was like, Oh, I read when bananas are ripe like that, they don't have any vitamins left in them.
Okay.
I said, you shut your face.
No more information, please. You shut your face.
And speaking of milk, this avian flu in the dairy is alarming.
Yes, our assistant yesterday specifically warned me about whole milk because they know I like whole milk.
Well, apparently, A of all, there's no risk with, like, what they're finding in the milk.
Oh, supposedly. Gorgeous. Okay.
Who knows? But also, you know, if your milk is pasteurized, basically there's nothing in there anyway, so.
Well, that woman, Ballerina Farm, she's got to watch out, you know?
I mean, truly.
She's got to watch out because she is drinking. She's basically drinking right out of the udder.
She's basically eating a cow.
That's also true.
Yeah, and I don't know about, like, the meat, which is more my concern because we do feed Nomi raw meat, so. That was more of what I was, but there was no mention of that, and maybe that's because people don't generally eat raw meat, but they do.
Nomi absolutely seems like a creature that would benefit from raw meat. You know, like you meet her and you think, ooh, she needs to eat raw meat.
I know. I think she deserves it. So she will continue to eat as much meat as she needs to.
Oh, is Nomi the kind of girl who just eats dinner, all of it at once?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, she's hungry.
Well, that's how you're supposed to feed them. You're really, like, not supposed to leave food out.
Right.
I think she still eats with a bit of fear. I think.
Right. She's worried someone else is going to come.
Yeah.
My mom's dog is very blasé about food.
Mm.
Like,
does it get left out?
Well, she feeds her twice a day, but, like, she kind of picks at it and then she walks away.
Yeah, you're supposed to, like, take it up.
Oh, I see.
So it's like, you eat this now or you don't eat it.
I see. I think my mom, her tactic is at times, like, add something tasty to it. But also my mom has, like, done such a... Look, this dog is old and a strange, strange mutt. And my mom has fed her off of her own plate for many years.
Yes.
She's just like, a bite for me and a bite for you. Right. And so this dog has, like, zero relationship to, you know, dinner, breakfast in the way that most dogs do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the reason you don't feed dogs from, like, the dinner table idea is actually because then they won't want to eat their food.
Right.
Which we learned right away with Nomi. Because I was like, well, this is good food. Like, she can eat this.
Oh,
and
no.
And she was like, yes, I can eat that, but only that. Thank you so much.
She's like, the food so you're giving me in this bowl is disgusting slop, and I will not be eating it. Thank you.
But now she's, like, crazy food motivated.
Wow.
So she'll eat kind of whenever there's food, so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. I love any...
She demands treats at night.
I love any good story about Nomi.
She's so important. It's really intense.
She's so important.
She's the most important thing.
I want to get a massage and a facial, and
you should.
I want to get a pedicure and a manicure. I think those are going to be my gifts to myself after all is said and done.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Adam Weinert had a birthday party, and it was saunas.
Oh.
There's like a mobile pop up kind of sauna business up here.
Whoa.
So Michelle came down from Maine, and we all went.
How many people were in this sauna?
It was a quite cold day, and it was perfect. I don't know. There was some limit, I guess, but I don't think we really paid attention to that. But at most, like, six or seven.
Okay.
And then there's, like, a cold plunge.
Oh, my God. Where was this popped up? You know, like, on their property?
In the Hudson, what is it called? Like, Hudson River Park something? Right by the train station, actually.
How fun.
Train station. Yeah, it was very nice. Very nice.
Was there cake?
Delicious foods from Talbot and Harding.
Oh, my goodness.
Lots of little dogs running around.
Lots of little dogs.
Yeah, it was very, It was very nice. When we first got there, we were like, it's too cold to be here.
Oh.
So we just went in the sauna, which was incredible.
Yeah. Well, we've been having quite erratic weather around here.
I think it's over.
Do you?
I think we've turned a page. I think we're in spring.
Okay. I mean, so it would be appropriate when it's almost the end of April.
Yeah. It's time.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I planted some flowers yesterday. Gonna try to plant the vegetable garden today.
I wore your cardigan the other day.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, I just thought, I need to wear this now.
Yeah, just have it.
No.
You know, never gonna think about it again.
That is the thing about clothes, one forgets.
Well, better than sending it to Ghana to be in the ocean.
Okay, Brandy Melville, watch out.
My goodness.
What else? New York City Ballet opened their spring season last night, so make sure you get tickets to go see Law of Mosaics. My other recommendation...
When is that happening? I think it's in my calendar. I think it opens
on the 15th of May. My other recommendations are that you go see Justin Peck's Pulcinella, which comes around every now and then, which I deeply love. My other recommendations are to go see... well, they've just brought back this piece that was formerly known as Zigan, but it's now known as Errant.
Okay.
And it has not been performed since Suzanne Farrell left the company, because it was made for her, and they've revived it. Suzanne came back and, like, restaged it.
Great.
And I've seen film of it, because they did, like, a PBS, studio recording of it back in the 70s. But I was never terribly interested in it, but I'm curious to see it on stage.
I want to see Sesame Street characters doing ballets.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
PBS.
It's tricky, you know, because they've got an arm up their spine. And their limbs are controlled by sticks. But
yeah,
with all the technologies they have nowadays, they could do it.
No technologies.
Well, there's that very cute episode of Sesame Street where Baryshnikov comes and counts and does ballet and stuff.
Yeah, you could do a library fellowship about that.
There's also a very cute Sesame Street where Suzanne Farrell comes on and dances for them and answers questions and stuff.
Now Sesame Street is on HBO. I don't know what the status of that is. That seems insane.
I don't know. Other interesting things to see at New York City Ballet. Well, people love Dances at a Gathering, so that's back. There's a piece called Interplay, which is a Jerome Robbins piece that doesn't go very often. There's going to be a new work by Amy Hall Garner and a new work by Justin Peck that I just don't know anything about them. So I can't speak to them. I cannot speak to them.
Do you know anything about Amy... Hall Gardner?
Amy Hall Garner. Amy went to Juilliard and then did kind of musical theater kind of dance. She was in Fosse, I believe, at the time. It was the late 90s when she graduated from Juilliard. I remember when I was a freshman at SUNY Purchase, I went to see a show at Juilliard where she had choreographed a piece for their like senior comp recital. So I guess she's three classes ahead of me. So now, like, she's in 55th grade, and I'm in 52nd grade.
There you go. Yeah, grades ahead of you.
Yeah, she's many grades ahead. So, she then has gone on to, she assisted Jarrell Grand Moultrie when he was making, he still does, making dances, and then went on to start making her own dances, and has made works at various ballet companies, and this is her New York City Ballet debut.
This is what an incredible biography you just were able to give.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was vague.
I thought it was quite detailed.
Thank you.
But I don't know this person at all, never heard of them, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I have weird, you know, it's the only, dance. My brain only holds on to this kind of information.
Yeah, people, places.
People and places and dance. And if you want to know even more detail, there is, I believe she's on this week's episode of the New York City Ballet podcast. And but even greater is that last week's episode of the New York City Ballet Podcast, Russell Jansen and Miriam Miller are being interviewed by Silas Farley about Law of Mosaics and just Pam Tanowitz in general. And it is like the most charming, wonderful episode of podcast. It's so fun and wonderful, and we love.
Well, great. All right, I'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
I've been listening to podcasts, and watching. What it came up on YouTube?
What it came Pat up on Pat. YouTube?
What is that podcast?
Seek Treatment.
Seek Treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Pat is sexy. So
what?
The YouTube is nice.
That's there are other people.
Are other people.
There are other people who find Pat sexy.
Yeah, I assume.
Yeah.
But I haven't listened to it because I found it obnoxious. I mean, I wouldn't listen to our podcast.
Well, you know, I've been
people talking is obnoxious.
I've been listening to Seek Treatment from the beginning. I don't think I've missed an episode.
That's incredible.
Thank you. Even during the days where we were in a, you know, podcast feud, I was still listening to their podcast.
Well, you, of course, then.
Well, yeah.
I mean... that's when you listen.
Yeah. I guess it really, wasn't. It like wasn't that much of a feud, but it was fun. It was fun to be in conversation with another podcast without knowing anyone.
Oh, this is an episode with John Early.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited.
Another person I don't want to listen to, but I sort of was interested.
Yeah, I'm excited to go see this movie.
Oh, what is there a movie? I didn't.
Yeah, John Early is in a new film that's playing at IFC right now that I'm gonna look up the name of because I want to see it.
Okay.
Let's see. It's called Stress Positions.
Okay. And it's a comedy.
I think it's a stressful comedy. I think the sort of basic plot is that John Early's living in Brooklyn as like a, you know, contemporary gay person in Brooklyn. Uh-huh. And their like gorgeous cousin comes to stay with them with an injured, like a broken leg or something. And they're like a male model. And then it just sort of like presents all these like,
Sexual.
Yeah. Stressful situations with the friends and the, you know.
Okay.
Anyways, I'd like to watch that. Nick Mouse is giving a talk on Friday at somewhere, some poetry thing. I'd like to go see that. What else is going on?
Well,
I've been missing line dancing because I've been in the theater.
That's really, you're going to be so thrilled when you
I'm worried actually because I feel like I'm going to get back and there's going to be all these dances that people know that I don't and it's going to make me sad.
It's going to be great. It's going to be like starting over.
No.
The original thrill.
No.
You're right. You should stop going.
I should. Okay. I won't.
Oh my God. Summer swimming.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
I'm going to Europe soon.
Oh, right. May.
Yeah.
Wow. You have to take a vacation.
I'm about right to now. Email the people in Europe to say I want them to tack on a week before and after my trip so that I can like...
Wow, great.
Yeah.
Zoom around.
Yeah. I just want to like get on trains and go places and like go to... I literally want to walk up to a hotel and be like, can I have a room tonight? You know what I mean? I don't want to...
Wow.
I don't want to plan so much. I can't do it. I can't look at my phone and look at, like, Yelp stars. I just can't. I'm not interested in that. And I never have been.
Yeah. But I am also not interested in that. But I also know that if I didn't have a plan, I would probably just sit in a room.
Oh. Well, that does happen. And that's okay. But usually what happens is if you leave your room and just start walking, something happens. Yeah, I remember once...
Fair enough.
I was on a tour, I think this is with the Alberta Ballet, and we were in China for quite a while. And we were at the tail end of a long trip, and we were in Shanghai. And I was like, you know, I was just at a place of like, I'm ready to have some time on my own. Because, you know, we'd been on planes, trains, buses, dressing rooms, theaters, just with this same group of people. It gets claustrophobic. So we get to Shanghai. Suddenly I feel a sense of relief because there's something feels familiar, you know?
Okay.
In a way that, like, the other places had not. They'd felt, like, mm-hmm. a little bit more foreign to the extent that I was like, oh, does anyone want to go exploring? But in Shanghai, we put our bags down, and I was like, I'm just going out. You know, I'm going out there. And I don't even think... Because in those days, I'd always ask the front desk for a paper map. And I would mm-hmm. leave the building. But I don't think I did, or maybe it didn't exist or something.
Oh my goodness.
So I just went walking. And I walked and walked and walked. And I walked into, like, the main area of downtown and down by the water. And then it was starting to get dark. And I was like, wow, Shanghai is, like, the Jetsons meets, like, old colonial Paris or London. Or it was so strange. And then I started walking back to the hotel several hours later because there was some, like, planned dinner location for everybody. And I was lost. That's for sure. And I did have this, like, fear. I was like, what if I don't find it? Like, what am I going to do?
What if you were still in Shanghai today?
Wow. Well,
gone forever. What happened to her? I don't know. She went to China and never came back.
I would happily be, like, stitching applique onto hats or something, and I would speak...
Happily?
Well, you know, I like repetitive tasks.
Yeah.
I would speak...
Line dancing.
I would hopefully... Well, they love that over there. They love, like, group exercise. So I would be outside doing my exercise in the morning. I would be doing some tasks. I would definitely be able to speak Chinese. You know, it would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So what did you do? You get a car?
No, I just kept looking. I kept walking, and then I would turn around and look the other way and be like, is this what it looked like when I left the hotel? Just based on the skyline.
Uh-huh.
And then I kept sort of, like, repositioning myself. And eventually I just kind of, like, made it back. I was like, oh, wow, I did it. It was hard, though.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyways.
That could have ended differently, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't know what I... It's like, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't have the phone number of the hotel. Like, I didn't have anything.
Right. It's a different... It's... There's before the phone and there's after the phone.
I guess I would have had to go to the Canadian consulate and they would have known where we were.
But how would you get there?
I would have asked someone.
Help.
Yeah, I would have said help. I would have had like
but I think you could have like I you know, get a taxi scenario, a car. But did you know like what your hotel was called?
No.
Right.
It was pretty incredible. I was really like, wow, if I don't find this is bad situation.
And you were much relieved.
I was much relieved.
But no one could understand what had just happened to you.
No, everybody's like, when do we get to go back home? This tour is too long. Excuse me.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Typhoid.
Yeah, that was an almond skin got caught in my throat.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Those almonds are always trying to kill you.
They really are. I'm going to finish gathering myself, and I'm going to go to the theater, and we have some more fittings this afternoon and this evening.
Great. Well, happy opening.
Thank you so much.
Illinois running now through some other time in the future.
Illinois.
Get your tickets.
Running for 16 weeks. Definitely get your tickets, many tickets. And yeah, get swept away. There's just like, every night
watching the show, there's these two songs that Shara Nova sings, and like on her own, more or less, and I just can't believe it. She's just so incredible.
That's so nice.
I mean,
that's it. That's kind of like the only reason to go to a show is for like
the song.
That moment.
There always has to be the moment, right?
It has to be. Otherwise, like even if it's just like 10 seconds
yeah.
of a show, of a, like a, well, let's not get carried away.
Look, like, everybody.
Of like a normally length hour and a half. Like, it's okay. Like, you need to give me that, like, moment of transcendence.
Yeah. Everybody has different versions of, like, their moment in this show.
Absolutely.
But for me, it's the John Wayne Gacy section, which is a little strange because it is a, like, murdering children section, but I do.
Absolutely bizarre.
I find it chilling. The song is amazing, and the lighting is so beautiful, and I really love that section. I love that section.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about the strangeness of this show on Broadway.
Yeah.
In terms of like the set
uh-huh.
production design,
uh-huh.
because Broadway is like things flying in and like zooming around and like
right.
changing every 5 minutes.
No, we don't have that.
Yeah. I think that's.
Yeah. We have a little bit of more than we had at Bard, but not a lot because
okay.
remember at Bard, there just was like that wall. And
yeah.
I do think the wall opened at some point for things to pass through, right?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Like what?
Okay, this is a long time ago. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think so.
Really?
I really don't think
so. Oh, you know what? You're right. No, I do think the wall opened, but there was still like that platform that sat on top of it. And
opened for what?
People to walk through.
Mm-mm.
Yes, Jeremy, no. trust me.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. It just like opened partly, not all the way, but it would like create this place where people
so.
Could walk. Yes, people would walk through it at the beginning, like they hiked through it at the beginning. Yes. But anyways, that whole...
I don't think so.
Okay, Jeremy. That whole area became like more fleshed out and now there's like wheat behind it, people walking through the field, and there's these like this one set piece that flies up. But generally, yeah, it's very simple as Broadway shows go. Very simple.
Yeah, that seems nice for the frequent Broadway attendee.
A relief.
Less nice for the tourist who, you know, wants to see an insane show.
Oh, it's you know? Not. No, then you go to the Lion King.
That.
You go to the Lion
Absolutely.
King. You go to. I've
go
never.
To
I've
Spider-Man
never. Never seen Wicked, but I'm guessing. I'm guessing. Or you go see. I don't know. Go. I don't know.
Either.
I don't know.
Phantom's gone. Nothing's good anymore.
People go to see And Juliet and
Cats. There's no Cats.
There's about to be.
Cats is coming back.
Yep.
I mean, literally every show that's ever been on Broadway is back on Broadway this year.
It's only a matter of time till there's a new version of Phantom of the Opera. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that Harry and I get to design it.
Oh my God. My fingers are crossed for that too.
Anyways.
All right. Well, cross your fingers. We loves you.
We absolutely loves you. And good night and good luck. Bye-bye.